Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, it's a great day. Find your notes, if you will, that are tucked aside your bulletin. We're in a series that we've called Here to Serve. We are here to serve because Jesus Christ came to this earth to serve, and if he came to serve, then we're like him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus calls his disciples together and he says, you know what? The rulers of this world, they lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority or those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. And here it is. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're here to serve others. We've talked about the attitude of servant. We're still working on that one, aren't we? And being, we talked about the actions. You constantly serve. You keep serving. We talked about the authority and how you relate to that. And today we're going to talk about the allegiance of a servant. The allegiance. In other words, here's what it means. When I serve, I should only serve one person. That's not me. That's not others. It's God. And by serving others, by serving me, I will make life hard. But if I serve God, I will serve others, and I will serve what's best for myself as well, won't I? So there's a time where Jesus was baptized, went to the desert immediately. At the end of 40 days there, Satan came to him. You know the story. The devil took him to a peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will just kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan. Scripture said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Serve only him. The devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. So we're going to talk about this struggle that you and I have of who are we going to serve. Old song by Bob Dylan, you're going to serve somebody. Who are you going to serve? So first of all, let's look at why do we consider serving other gods, which is in reality idolatry. Now, idolatry, I think, has lost its meaning to us here in the States a lot because we picture idolatry as setting up a little statue or setting up something that you bow before, burn some incense, that you do something to it. And you say, well, I don't have any idols in my home. I don't do any of that stuff. Well, you need to broaden your understanding of idolatry. Idolatry is simply this. Anything that takes God's place in your life is idolatry. If God tells you he wants you to tithe and you don't, you have made an idol of money. If God tells you he wants you to do something and you don't do it because you want to do something else, you have made that an idol. So an idol is anything that comes into our life that has bigger control of us than God does, that gets our allegiance faster than God does, that takes his place. And so why do we consider serving other things rather than just simply serving God? There's a lot of reasons for that. Let me give you a few. First of all, well, everybody else does. Everybody makes a choice of what they're going to serve, and they serve this and they serve that. And Israel was told often, God had to tell them, you're not like everybody else. They're going to worship these other gods. They're going to do these other things. And Israel didn't listen, did they? And they joined in because everybody else was doing it. And sometimes we just want to think we're like everybody else. What's the harm? Everybody's doing it. There's a big harm in that. Or let's just embrace all the possibilities. I want to cover all my bases. I want to make sure that I get everybody included here so that if this is right, then I got that there. And if this is right, I got this. And if this is right, I got this. And we kind of put ourselves in the place where let me just make sure I embrace them all. And that way I got a little bit of everything. And thus you see a lot of people, well, I believe in God, but I also believe in this and I also believe in that. Or you know what? I can do these other things and serve these other things and be involved in these other things. They just don't expect as much of me as God does. I mean, God wants it all. Isn't that a little bit presumptuous on his part? He wants everything I got. These other things don't require as much of me. I can just do other things. They don't make the demands on me that God does. I can kind of follow them and do whatever I want to do. And so it's just, I kind of like that a little bit. And so, you know, I'll do this and I'll do this. And God just says, don't do this and don't do that and do this. And God's always giving me orders. And, you know, the bar he puts out there is just so high, I don't think I could ever reach it. And I'm just more comfortable with these other things. Or there's something I can explain. I can understand what these other gods offer to me. You know, if I believe in God, I have to believe in someone that I can't fully explain. I have to believe in someone that I don't fully understand. I have to make a choice believing in something that is not tangible, that I don't get. And I have to have faith, and I have to trust, and I can't explain it, and I don't see it. And that's just really hard for me. I want something a little bit more understandable. Or with some other gods, because they sometimes seem to do exactly what we want. Well, I did this, and look what I got. And it worked out for me. Times they seem to produce results. Times it just seems to work out for me. You know, it's not hurting anything. And I can go ahead and do this and be involved in this, and, you know, everything seems to be going really good. The problem is, at one point, it comes to an end, doesn't it? Or it's just the easiest way to live. You know, this doesn't take much work. I can just do what comes naturally. And so what we have is a lot of people serving other gods, other things. We wouldn't call them God. We wouldn't call money a god. We just say money is necessary. Money is just a necessary evil. It's not really the god of my life. And yet we'll hoard it. We'll keep it. We'll give extra hours to it. And we don't say it as, I'm not serving that. But you got to have money to live, you got to pay the rent, you got to do this. And so we make all kinds of little excuses here about these other things that subtly creep into our lives. And before long, they have a higher place in our priority structure of our life than God does. That before long, there are things that are more important than what God says. They become something that we think is needed, something that we want. And if we're not careful, we begin to give our attention and our time to them, and they end up taking God's place. And it just happens. It doesn't have to be intentional sometimes, because the enemy's very good at just whispering, it's not going to hurt anything. You can do this and do that. You can have it all. And we put other things in God's place. And that creates conflict, and that creates problems. So we have this conflict of masters. There are basically three masters that are wanting to control your life. Three areas that you have to fight in and that you have to deal with on a daily basis. The first one, our carnal nature wants to be served. Our carnal nature wants to be served. You have this nature within you that is selfish, that only thinks about self. You were born with it. It's just who you are. Everyone has it. And there is this part of us that wants its own way, that thinks our way is better, that thinks our way is right, that believes that we should get what we want and that we know what's best. And so there's this idea that, you know what? I don't even have to work at it, and this nature's involved in my life pulling me in different directions. James chapter 4, verse 1. James writes, what's causing all the fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Carnal nature. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. And you're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. And yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And then even when you ask God for it, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Now notice this last phrase. You want only what will give you satisfaction, what will give you pleasure, what will give you your way. And one of our biggest battles in life is not dealing with other people. It's dealing with ourselves. Well, I was just born this way. You're right, you were. Well, it's just the way I am. I know, stop it. Well, it's just, you know, it's just, you just got to accept me as I am. Okay, I'll accept you as you are. God accepts you as you are. But he says, let's work at it and change it. And so within us, there is this selfish desire that thinks we're right, that puts self over everyone else, that wants to do what makes sense to us, that operates in a manner that protects us, that believes we're looking at everything clearly, and we end up serving it because you don't have to work at it. You just do what comes naturally. And that is why Paul wrote to us and told us, look, here's what's going to happen. If you're going to deal with this carnal nature, here's what you have to do. He says, you have to die every day. Pick up the cross and follow. What are you dying to? I mean, Pastor, I don't understand that. Die. It's very simple. You have to learn to tell yourself no. Because your carnal nature is selfish. Well, I deserve this. Slap yourself and say, no, I don't. Well, you know, I have a right to this. Pinch yourself, do something, say, no. Don't think like that. Don't act like that. Don't have that attitude. Stop it. And we have a hard time telling ourselves no. And so our carnal nature wants to be served. And you think, well, I put it to death once. What's it doing back alive? It just is going to do that day after day, isn't it? And so you have to understand that if you just do what you want to do, you will not serve God as you should. And yet the call of our day is take care of number one. Do what you want as long as you don't hurt anybody. Be your own best friend. Do everything you think is right. Look at life one way and criticize anybody who looks at it differently. You want that? You deserve to have it. Here's the great call of the day. You can do anything you want to do in life. No, you can't. That's not realistic. It's also not true. I want to go out and shoot a low golf score. I can't do that. A lot of things we want in life, we're not going to get. But see, your carnal nature says, I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whoever I want to be. I can act however I want to act. I got to be me. And there's a war that, because if you listen to that nature, you will not do the things that God wants you to do. And you will have to deal with this nature every day of your life. Time and time and time again. There is a second master that comes along, and that is our culture wants to be served. Our culture wants to be served. We live in a world that wants to tell you how to live. Well, you should accept these people. You should look at things like this. Advertising wants to be help you know what choices to make so that you can serve what it wants. And James, again, writes, he goes on from the verses we just read. He goes on in verse 4. He says, look, you don't give what you ask for because you only want what will give you pleasure. And then he keeps going. He says, you adulterers, you idol worshipers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I'll say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. If you want to do what the world says is okay and do what the world says is right, and you want to buy into its philosophy and the gospel that it preaches, and make no mistake about it, our world preaches a gospel. It's not the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of self-help. It's the gospel of we can fix everything. We got to tolerate everything. Do you think the scriptures say without meaning, they say that God is passionate and the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And so this world goes along and says, here's what we want you to believe. Here's how we want you to think. We want you to believe this about abortion. We want you to believe this about creation. We want you to believe this about the planet. We want you to believe this about lifestyle. We want you to believe this, and the culture that we have wants your attention, and it wants your allegiance, and it wants you to follow what it believes is important. And if you're not careful, you'll follow it more than you'll follow God. Well, I know what the Bible says about this, but it seems like just in this world, they make a good point. Yeah, they make a good point. It's wrong. 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers, you might want to just underline this, only. It only offers this. A craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Everything the world offers you is one of those three things. But those three things pull us. I mean, our carnal nature wants physical pleasure, doesn't it? So let's go along with it. You don't have to get married. You can just live together. That's what the world preaches, correct? Carnal nature says, yeah, that sounds good to me. A craving for everything we see. Oh, man. I don't know what it is. I'll be watching a football game, and there'll come a commercial on for Taco Bell. And I'll think, man, I'd like to have that taco. We got this new thing. Wow, I got to stop there. And it just begins to put it out there, and you just, wow, yeah. And pride. It's all about me. Look what I've done. Look at who I am. Look at what I deserve. Those are not from the Father. They are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God, anyone who serves God, will live forever. So you and I have a battle, a conflict that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Satan understood this because he came to Jesus at a vulnerable moment and said, look, you're hungry, you're exhausted, you're here for a purpose. I can give you everything you want right now without you having to work for it or go through a struggle for it. You can have it immediately, and it'll all be done. We like the immediate, don't we? We don't want to have to sacrifice. We don't want to have to struggle. We don't want to have to go through a hard time. But Jesus stands up and says, no, I only serve God. And you and I, on a daily basis, have to make that choice. Are we going to listen to our carnal nature that has its wants and squeals like a little two-year-old? Are we going to listen to the culture that we live in as it tries to show us how we should believe about things and what we should do with things and how the world works and wants to put us into this box so that everybody's the same and they want to tell us this is what we should believe and this is how we should operate? You have those two things daily that you and I have to address in our life. And the right way to address them is very simple. No. No. I am not going to serve you. That's hard. Because a lot of times we don't think we're being selfish, but we are. A lot of times, oh, I'm just trying to be helpful. No, you're trying to get your way. Well, I just got everybody else's interest right. No, you don't. And we lie to ourselves, don't we? Well, this is the way it works. But we come to that place where we realize as Christians, we should be totally committed to God. Totally committed to Him. The carnal nature wants us to commit to Him. The culture we live in wants us to give way to what they say is right and how they say things should be done. But you and I want to serve God. Now, this is said in a variety of ways all throughout scriptures. It says you should serve God with a whole heart, with an undivided heart, with all your heart. And what it's trying to tell, what God tried to tell Israel, what God's still trying to tell us, look, no one can serve two masters. One, which one are you going to serve? And are you going to serve me alone? Total commitment, 100% to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, he says, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires, still a requirement today, by the way, not just for Israel, but still for us, only that you fear the Lord your God, and that you live in a way that pleases Him, and you love Him and serve Him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that He's given you today, great phrase, for your own good. Why does God want us to serve Him and only Him? Is He an egomaniac that just demands, I want everybody to look at me? No. God knows you and I. He created us. He made us. He says, look, I only want what's best for you. And you're only going to get what's best in life if you only serve me. If you serve yourself, you will make life very difficult for you. If you serve the culture you live in, life will get very hard. But if you serve me, things will go well with you. But you can't mix it up. You can't cover all your bases. Well, I got a little of self and a little culture and a little of God. It's only Him. Paul nails this. He just kind of puts it in a great perspective in Romans chapter 6. Here's what he says. He says, look, thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, slaves to your carnal nature, slaves to the culture you lived in. That's what you wore before you came to God. But now you wholeheartedly, undivided, only obey this teaching we've given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, yourself, the culture. You have become slaves to righteous living. You're going to serve somebody. Oh, I want freedom. I want to do whatever I choose. That's your selfish, carnal nature talking, isn't it? And you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, carnal nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness. What's lawlessness? Simply this, you do whatever you want. It's what sweeps our nation. Everybody does what's right in their own sight. It is one of the great signs of the end times. Everyone will live in their own way. And all of those lead even deeper into sin. Now, because you've come to Christ, because you've committed your life to Him, you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy, not perfect. If you got to become perfect, we're all in trouble, aren't we? Holy simply means, let me put it to you in a way we make sure we understand it, separate. In other words, you're separate from your carnal nature. You're different from everybody else in the culture. You're not like them. You don't live by the same set of rules. You don't participate in the same things. You don't believe the same things. You are holy. You're on the other side of the spectrum. They look at you as weird. Holy. Separate from. When you were slaves to sin, I've been a slave of anybody. Oh, you've been a slave to something all your life. You were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Aren't you glad you don't have to stand up here today and tell everybody some of the stuff you did in your past? When the carnal nature was in control. But now, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin, living to your own self, doing your own thing is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We were slaves to ourselves, to the culture. Oh, it didn't feel like slavery. Sometimes it felt pretty good. I could just do what I want, act like I want, say what I want, be who I wanted to be. You know, I could just go ahead and do it. Nobody cared. But the results were it created problems. But when you come to God, you serve only Him. 1 John 5:21. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. I am free. I am here to serve. And my allegiance is I will serve only God. Now, am I perfect at that? Are you perfect at that? No, not by any means. There isn't a person in this room today that this past week that every decision you made and every thought that you had and everything that you'd done was wholly committed to God. You've had some slip-ups, haven't you? Sometimes some big slip-ups. But you and I work towards God. I don't want anyone or anything else to take your place in my heart. I want to serve you and only you. I don't want to serve me. I don't want to serve the culture and all the other people. I want to serve you. If I serve you, my relationship with the other people will be fine. And I'll feel better about it too. So God says, I want you to serve me for your own good. Life will go well with you. Don't let anything take you. When he told the children of Israel, look, serve only me. I'll take care of you. I'll give you everything you want in life. They didn't do it, did they? And they created a mess of their nation. God comes today and says, look, I want you to serve me. Jesus understood it when Satan came to him. No, I serve only God. That's the understanding. But here's the great hope that we have. Here's the great privilege that is ours. Jesus is coming again for his servants. Jesus one day is coming again for those who are serving him. And so when my allegiance is to him and I serve God with all my heart and all my soul, I have a great future in front of me. Let's look at some verses. Psalm 34:22. The Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Malachi 3:17. No, it's not that verse. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's army. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So Jesus says, look, I'm coming back. I want you to be ready for me. I'm coming back for those who are serving me with all their heart. Not for the perfect ones, but for the ones who are doing everything within their power to be obedient to me in every area of their life. Paul writes about that to the church of Corinth. He says, look, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own work. So in other words, some plant, you don't have the same job as everybody else. Some water, some do this, some do that. Not everybody's exactly what God gives you to do, but we all do what God tells us to do. We're both God's workers, and we're God's field, and we're God's building. And because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever's building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than one we already have, Jesus Christ. So every decision I make is based on what Jesus Christ taught and what he expects. And anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. In other words, God gives you gift and gives you ways to do things. You can use a variety of things, gold and silver and jewels and wood, hay, or straw. But on Judgment Day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Have you done your work because you're serving God, or have you done the work because you're serving yourself? The work that you've done in your life, is it because you just take care of you? Or are you just doing what everybody else is doing, or are you serving God? And the fire will show if a person's work has any value. The motives come out. The heart comes out, doesn't it? If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer a great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Boy, that's a key to life. Why are you doing this? Because God wants me to. I'm working for him. I'm doing what's right in his sight. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And that master you are serving is Christ. You and I will live this life being servants to God, doing what he wants to do, serving only him. And we will reap the benefit of that both in this life and in the life to follow. It will be worth it. But if you choose to serve your carnal nature, if you choose to follow along with what the culture propagates, you're going to struggle in this life, and the next life isn't going to be very good either. And so you and I come to that place where we understand my allegiance is to God alone. I'm going to serve him and him alone. Well, that, you know, now I don't know why I keep saying it, but let me just be a little bit more blunt maybe, because I come across people, well, I'm serving God, and they use God as their barrier to not have to do what anybody else thinks, and they can treat people however they want because, well, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. No, you're doing what you want to do and trying to add God to it. You and I have to come to that place where we're going to say, God, I need me to die. I don't want to just give in to me. You're alive in me, God, through your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit to control my life. And I want to live according to its dictates and what it says. And the culture will pressure me. And the culture at times will make sense. It's, yeah, that seems right, but it's not. So God, help me to be like Jesus. And when the enemy comes and tells me, you can do this, you can have this, help me to say, get away. I will only serve God. It's a commitment you have to make on a regular basis. And this morning, we're going to take communion. And communion is that great time when we once again remind ourselves of why we live for God. Because Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead for us. Jesus Christ saved us. And Jesus Christ is coming back again for us. And until that happens, I will serve Him and Him alone. And that's what this moment is about as we remember. And maybe you're here today and you've been trying to play, well, a little of this and a little of that and try to cover all your bases. Maybe this morning you need to take a moment and say, God, look, I need to get rid of everything else and I need to serve you and you alone. Help me to deal with me. Help me to deal with the things I've let seep in that this culture is trying to push. Help me. And so as we're being served communion, the Bible says that we should examine ourselves, be honest with ourselves about God and our lives. So I'm going to encourage you, we're going to sing. We're going to take a moment and, you know, pause and allow God just to speak into our lives and to ask Him to help us and to direct us and to do what only He can do. So as those who are serving, go ahead and begin to do that. We'll ask you to hold the elements until everybody's been served. All we ask is if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, please take communion with us. But as we're doing that and as we're singing this morning and as we're taking this time, let's bring our lives before God and say, God, here I am. I want to serve you and you alone. Would you do that right now? Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing for us. Thank you for the life you've offered to us. Help us, oh God, to be the people that you've called us to be as we take this moment to honor you today.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.